6, Steve Justin, Camo X. I've not heard the news about the NASA astronauts. This is crazy. So what's the deal?
Well, so they went up on the new Boeing Starliner.
Yeah.
And the plan, I think, was for, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, a week, 2 weeks.
And then we knew they had a problem and there had been delays. Well, that 2 weeks was...
a couple months ago?
Yeah, I mean, so it 2 weeks turned into like 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
And now, Rach, did you say the story was they're not coming back till next year?
Yeah, NASA says that the Starliner astronauts could return on SpaceX in February of 2025.
Those people are so brave.
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
absolutely.
But think about this from a family perspective. I don't know if they have families or not. I have no clue. I haven't looked at it. But there are two people up there, Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams, who were planning on being there for 2 weeks, and now 6 months of their lives are this.
Yeah, at least.
At least. I mean, it's 2024. We had people in space 60 years ago? Well, not quite. Right, coming up on, it'll be 60 in the not-too-distant future. And we still don't now have a way to get them back after telling them, your mission is 2 weeks. Well, right now it's 2 months. Well, now it's 6 or 7 months or eight, or maybe we don't know beyond that. I mean, I would think that NASA, Boeing, that people that are at that level would have better solutions. It's kind of unnerving that there is no other solution than wait 6 months.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm not going up there. I'm not an astronaut. But
has anyone had a worse year than Boeing?
Hasn't been great. About as bad of press as you can get. Mm-hmm.
I mean, at this point, like, again, the solution is, yeah, you know what? We might just need Elon's team to come do this for us because...
he'd love that.
He certainly would. And that's what's being floated, is that SpaceX might have to come to the rescue. Well, what are we doing? I mean, obviously, I'm literally not a rocket scientist, but I thought they employed those folks that you could figure out a way to get somebody back from the ISS faster than that.
We talked about a few weeks ago whether if it is financially viable to go into space in your lifetime, if you would do it. And I was like, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm so full of crap. There's no way. I just don't think I could do it. I don't even like driving through the mountains.
Right.
No cell reception.
You know, like going into space.
Yeah. I mean,
it would be amazing. Yeah, I love it. Do you know the William Shatner story when he went into space? And, you know, Captain Kirk and, you know, the whole thing. He said it was the most meaningful experience of his life, but the saddest. And he said, there's no life. He's not saying that there's no life in the universe. There's no life out there. It's just darkness and death.
Where you are. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And looking back at the earth and the blue and the green and the clouds, he realized that everything that matters is there. It's not out in space. It's there. And he said he cried like a baby. Now that's significant. That's really something.
Yeah. I think. But I feel like that almost reinforces the meaning of what you're doing as opposed to seeking it elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I mean, I feel like, yay, I get to go back to that now as opposed to I'm going to be venturing further into this nothingness.
Yeah.
Although at the end of that nothingness, if you're someone that goes to Mars or you're someone that, you know, does some form of manned mission
God
that gets deeper.
Those people.
Yes, you're missing out on home, right? You're missing out on what he's talking about. But you're also maybe somewhere down the road allowing your species or helping that step to happen where your species could survive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not there. We're not near that.
No,
but you never know.
I think it's very important.
Yeah.
It's just, it's like watching the Olympics. Last night when Nick was putting together Phoebe's drawers for her new sorority room, and we're just watching the Olympics and talking about what freaks these people are, and you can't believe that they share the DNA with you, that they're even the same species in a good way. And people who do that, I feel the same way about. People who can do that. I told Andrew after my friend Annie Fry flew with the Blue Angels, like, oh, I want to do that. Make that happen. And now I'm terrified he's going to. I'll be the first guy that ever backed out when he got there.
Oh, don't do that.
It'd be fun.
Stairway to Kevin?
Yeah. So I'm always fascinated by how we react to stories now compared to how we reacted to the past version of that story, right? So I found it. I found this headline, and it comes with the clipping from the newspaper from 1928. It was a panic about college students, particularly the women at Wellesley College, being quote unquote addicted to telegrams, and that there were that one of the pieces of it says there's a daily average in the college telegraph office of 116 incoming messages and 175 outgoing telegrams. And the story is about how they're addicted to this keeping in touch with their friends in other places or family members. And I thought the comment, it's from the Pessimist Archive, which I love because they do this kind of stuff all the time. But the guy that tweeted about it for the Pessimist Archive said this could be interpreted in two ways. One, it was a harbinger for the addictive nature of electronic messaging because that was the first version of it. Two, younger generations are highly social. New ways to communicate will be popular, and older generations will call them addictive. And I think both of those things are true. Yeah. I don't think it's either or.
It hasn't changed.
I think that there are things about this, but like young people are always pushing the envelope, right? The newer generations, anything new, they're going to jump on, and they're going to love the fact that older generations are not on it or not as involved in it as they are. And then the older generations are going to look at that and go, oh, it's ruining our kids.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that, like, for our generation, we're Gen X.
She's sending a telegram a month.
Gen X people, we were the ones that were doing that, and we're playing video games and doing all that stuff. And now we look at the younger generations and their thing and say, well, our thing was different. This thing is the new. This thing is bad. This new thing is bad. And I'm always fascinated by that. Is it that just the, I mean, like, I think the problem that we run into, and Rachel, you bring this up all the time. I think it's 100% right. Everything happens so much faster now. Like the rate of change and the speed of the impact of these things is almost instantaneous as opposed to taking days or heck, even telegrams took minutes,
think about,
right?
And we've talked about this before, but think about how when I was growing up, my life wasn't that much different than my dad's, you know?
Although he thought it was, I bet.
I guess.
He probably thought you had it a lot easier. And
yeah.
But like technologically, what was really that
I mean, the
different?
VCR.
Right.
I remember when the VCR came out.
Or cable.
That was a big deal and difficult to figure out.
Cable TV. I can't tell you how many times I got that. I mean, I grew up in a time, like I was probably, I think I was 11 or 12 when we got cable. So, I mean, I vividly remember not having cable and having three network stations because it was before Fox was a network.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had like you had UHF and your VHF, and you had a couple of local TV channels.
We had 2, 4, 5, 11, 30,
yeah.
And 9.
Yeah, and we had a similar thing, and we also had the benefit. We got Channel 9. That was the Canadian station. We got the CBC.
Yikes.
So we had that little extra bone. I got Hockey Night in Canada every Saturday night is what I got. But we saw that change, like all of those things. But think about microwaves. How much did that change things? How much did, if you look back to their generation, things like indoor plumbing becoming normal, that those are massive changes in how the world, how your life is, and how having cold water in your house, you know, those things were all massive changes, but they're very different than what we experience now, because now this change comes up, and within what, weeks, something's around the world. Heck, in seconds, an idea is around the world, which is one of the problems with social media. But it is a fascinating thing that even though all of those things happen and it accelerates, human nature has not changed much. We always have, the younger generation is always wanting to push the boundaries, and everyone else is, the older generations are always the ones wanting to hold it back. Not stop it, but like slow it down. Let's make sure we see what it's going to be.
To what extent is it that we don't trust the younger generation? And to what extent do we not trust them because we know what idiots we were?
Yeah, both. I think both of those things are true. But when we were that age, we didn't want people holding us back.
No.
When you were,
just don't get it.
Well, yeah, and they don't, but that's the whole point. You never do. You know, that's why you have, you know, writings from ancient Greece complaining about kids these days. Because they would complain the kids don't have any respect for their elders and they don't prioritize work and all they want to do is have fun. That's thousands of years ago. I think this has eternally existed, but the things are different, and I do think, though, that, and I do think that it, because of the technological revolution, things happen so much faster, it's harder to know how you handle the impact of it. Right? Because what's a telegram? It's a predecessor to a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you had phone calls, and then you had, you know, what was the story probably 30 years later? All these kids have their phones, and they're on the phone all day.
Cell phone, it was like $4 a minute until after 8, when it was a dollar.
And then all you do is call after 8, yeah.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. So I've been telling you that Andrew is doing an event in my stead. I'm taking Phoebe to college on Saturday, and this is for suicide awareness and prevention, and he will be going up against Miss World America, which, by the way, Kelly, we think is fake. We think that you've been had. There's no such thing as Miss World America, so that gives Andrew an immediate advantage right there. Kelly Pelker's with us. She's the founder and executive director of Glow for Hope. Great to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So introduce yourself in a wider way and tell us about what's going on.
As I was just discussing, I have a history in the podcast world, and I've been in business for myself for the last 24 years, and through many out of the darkness suicide walks that I've gone to with my daughter. We actually go to the one in Louisville, Kentucky, and my list of who I'm walking for just continued to get longer.
Yeah.
And in fact, one of the events that we went to there led us to this other place that had a Glow volleyball tournament going on, Glow in the Dark volleyball tournament. So AFSP, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, has these honor beads that they have that are, the colors are kind of correlate to what your connection is with suicide. So we kind of took that and created our own Spike Out Suicide event. Was just, you know, a regular old fundraiser for AFSP. Yeah. And that involved a tagline of Bump Set Glow for Hope, and Glow for Hope became this.
That's great.
So
what do you do at Glow for Hope?
We bring awareness to suicide prevention and mental health, and we're trying to get people talking about it and stop the stigma. And we're doing that through bringing folks together through the community and unique events, mm-hmm. Or taking a regular type of event and kind of putting a glow twist on it, and the whole glow in the dark and bringing people out of the darkness and shedding a light on that path.
It's all you can do, right?
It is.
So tell us about the event coming up Saturday.
Saturday is our first ever Raise a Glass to Hope celebrity bartender party. And so we're anxious to see how that goes. We're going to put up a couple of your WIL people up against each other, Casey and Marty Brooks. And then they'll be there for a couple hours. And then Andrew's going against
big
Elizabeth. She is real. I have talked to her.
We'll find out.
Andrew, that means you're in trouble.
We shall see. Yeah, she's real. I'm in big trouble.
He's been coping this whole time.
I wonder who's going to get more donations.
I have a chance if she's. I've been really hanging my hat on the fake thing.
It's not going to be one of those cutout things.
I think even that would probably still win.
even just an 8x10 picture of Miss World America.
Just a picture of a pretty lady.
You know, sadly, she actually is a suicide attempt survivor. So she's got a story and a passion for this, and has built her platform during her, I don't know what they call it, during her reign.
Yeah.
As,
good for her.
For about bringing awareness. So we're excited to have her and have everybody and see how it goes. And we'll have new old Toyota out there. We'll be outside Copper Fire, and we've got a new selfie booth that we're going to have that, and we'll have our literature and stuff available, and just encourage everybody to come out and have a good time, enjoy some cocktails and conversations.
It's going to be beautiful weather.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
No more.
It's
going
to be a great weekend, yeah.
We always seem to have some element outside, outdoors, and we also do the Hot Rods for Hope Car Glow, and that is my first event. I'm a longtime event planner, and first event in over 30 years that ever got touched by the element.
Yeah.
we still, you know, we still managed to raise a few thousand dollars out of it. So,
well, you can count on us anytime you need us.
Well, so. I appreciate that.
So again, it's going to be this Saturday, 4 to 7, our buddies at WIL. And then from 6 to 7, it's going to be Andrew. I love this. So Andrew was so nervous about what a photo to use. So did you use the thirst trap? Is that the one?
I didn't use that one. I used a different one that my wife had on her phone.
Okay.
Because I was like, I just don't have a lot of pictures of me. So I told her, I was like, find me something.
Well, it's a good one.
Well,
it is a
good
one.
Yeah,
it's a good picture.
And I love that they mistakenly put Andre.
Yes.
I think you should go with that.
I know. It makes it seem mysterious.
Yeah. Andre is going to get way more tips than Andrew.
Andre is pretty good. People are going to be so disappointed when they get there.
I think Andre Stolz is the one that's like cocktail. He's doing the drinks over the back juggling the.
People are going to be asking you where Andre is.
Oh, yeah. I can't compete with Elizabeth or Andre, to be honest.
So, websites, things like that to go to if people can't make it?
If you can't make it, you can tip ahead at glowforhopenfp.org or follow us on Facebook at Glow for Hope, and we've got obviously messages and one with Andrew spelled correctly.
Well, thanks so much. Glad to meet you, and again, anything in the future, you got it.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. We have the priest and the rabbi coming up at 4 p.m. We have a new feature on the Odyssey app. And if you go to the KMOX page, there's a little microphone there. You just click on it and you can leave us a message. It goes straight to Andrew. It can be like, hey, I love the show. Hey, I hate the show. Here's a question for Monsignor. Here's a question for the rabbi. I want to cross swords with Kevin Wheeler. Ask Dave Murray a question, whatever it happens to be. And we will use them liberally. I think it's going to be a really fun feature for the show. The aforementioned Dave Murray joins us now. Dave, another day more progress for you?
Yes. Feeling my voice, you can hear the difference in my voice in just one day.
Yeah.
Much better. And you know, when you call in and leave a message, every once in a while, just say, hey, Andrew, you're doing a great job.
There you go.
Aww, just
thank
make him, you. Make him feel good.
Call him Andre, though.
Yeah, Andre.
Andre the Giant.
We do have a couple of messages here if you want to listen to them.
I do.
Okay.
Hey guys, testing the app. Love the show.
Very cool. Thank you, Adam. And this is from Eric.
There you go.
Hey everyone at the DGS. This is Eric. I just wanted to say hi and use this new feature on the Odyssey app. Listen to you every day, 1 to 5. Have a good one.
That's so cool.
Eric has a nice voice.
Like nice
Eric,
little shout out. Yeah.
It always makes me feel so good when people say they listen to the whole show. It's like, so sweet. That's so incredible.
It's very cool. Yeah, and thank you for all the podcasts. Our podcast numbers are ridiculous, 6 million since we've been on KMOX, something like that, which no one can believe. I can't believe it. So it's really nice that you guys do that. Last night, Dave, I mean, you called it, but when I was driving out to see Phoebe, it went from whatever it was down to 72 degrees in no time.
Yeah.
That was really something.
Yeah, well, when we were talking yesterday, the temperature had gone from 95 to 89, and it was 70 at Kirksville, and it was 70 in Kansas City, and that we were going to fall into the 70s very quickly in the evening, and we have a secondary northwest cool front coming in late tomorrow, so that's what that's going to do is reinforce the cool air.
Nice.
The clouds that are kind of out there now, they'll break up, give way to partly cloudy skies. We're ahead of this front tomorrow, so I think we'll jump to about 86. We've been in the 70s most of today, partly to mostly sunny skies. 62 on Thursday night, Friday, sunny, wonderful, 79. Friday night, clear skies, 59 for the overnight low. Saturday, sunny and 78. And Sunday, sunny and 81. It's really more like the middle of September than the middle of August.
And the fall forecast coming up?
Yes, on the 23rd, Friday. It's on a Friday this year because we have a baseball game on the 22nd. So the 23rd of August at 3:30.
And obviously, you don't have to give us any hints, but is it shaping up to be an interesting one?
You know what? I haven't even started it yet.
Fair oh, enough. Wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of out for a week. And as I kind of came to it, it was like, hey, you know what? I got to get clicking on that. I got to start putting that. I have a lot of ideas in my head.
Do you have a little home office there? I just picture you sort of rolling your sleeves up and pulling out the computer. They're rolled up
right now. Computer's on. And
I love
it. It's in my garage. It's not really an office. It's a garage.
The Dave Murray Weather Center.
Yeah.
There you go.
I like it. Headlines, Rach?
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. All right. According to Littler's 2024 annual employer survey reports, it's getting harder for companies to keep politics out of the workplace. There is no constitutional right to political free speech in the workplaces of private employers, but executives should pay attention to state and local jurisdictions where they operate. I guess this is just becoming increasingly more of a problem.
Yeah.
Companies want to keep it out of the workplace, but you can't really stop people from talking about what they're passionate about.
I mean, you can imagine, like, if Rachel and Wheeler were fighting about politics and one of them goes to HR and HR is like, hey, guys, we keep politics out. But I mean, tough putt, right? I mean, people are so passionate about it.
I don't know. I feel like the hardcore answer here is if your employer says this is off limits, then it's off limits. They, you know, the freedom of speech is so that the government cannot tell you what you can and can't talk about.
But practically on the ground, it's so hard to keep people.
Well, that's the problem, right? Is if you have two employees that are engaging in the same behavior, one is a $2 million a year earner and the other one has a low level job. You either have a double standard or you got to tell your higher earning person, nope. And then if they leave, now you're.
Did anyone else know that Wheeler's making $2 million a year?
I did.
He hypothetically. Let it slip. He just let it slip.
Hypothetically. That was, I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to brag.
That's all you're making?
I didn't mean to brag.
And he called you a low earner, Rach.
Well, I wasn't talking about Rach. I was talking about Ranji.
Yeah. I'm so sick of that guy.
I would never talk that way about Razor.
Yeah, Dave, did you know that's my new nickname, Razor? Have we talked about that with you yet?
I caught that yesterday.
Yeah.
But I wasn't sure why.
I don't know. It's just something that Dave Glover came up with whenever I first started on the show. Okay.
When she first started, I was, you know, I like to give people nicknames. And it was, you know, I know that some of your friends called you Ray.
Yeah.
And then Z. And I'm like, Ray Z, Razor, Razor, Razor.
Razor.
There you go. But then it was too stupid to bring up. But then I waited 8 years and now she likes it.
I'm kind of into it now.
I mean, kind of, you brought that persona yesterday with Ranj. Keep going. I like it.
A Massachusetts man was arrested for pulling his own personal Ocean's 11 at a Boston casino. Police say 35-year-old Gary Hunt stole $13,000 worth of casino chips from the Encore Boston Harbor on Tuesday evening. Witnesses say he created a distraction by claiming someone else had scored a jackpot. He then took $13,000 chips out of the dealer's tray and fled through an emergency exit.
That's pretty straightforward.
It is. He was found in a nearby parking lot with several of the chips still in his possession.
Is he going to pass them around to people to cash them in?
Yeah, right.
It's pretty, I don't know if brave is the right word. It's incredibly stupid to do that at a casino where they have cameras everywhere.
I mean, that's everywhere. The thing. Why would you ever try anything at a casino?
Dave, you a casino guy at all?
No. And I've always used, and I'm not much into betting about anything because I have spent my career betting on the weather.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And that's fine. That's fine with me. I'm okay with that.
Wheels, how about you?
Yeah, I like to bet. I bet I'm a recreational person. Like, I spent so much time coming up in sports radio, especially doing national stuff, like being in gambling, to know that you cannot win.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to lose if you play too much too often. And there are rare exceptions, people that can make money doing it. But well, they're like the 1%.
You described to me the way it works, which I didn't know before, which is not so much that the casinos have superior knowledge and are betting against you. They want to make it so that there are even bets on both sides so that they take the cream.
That's the per. Now, there are they do have people that gather information, the bookies, the sports books. They have people that are out there. They call their sources that maybe they're team reporters, maybe they're not, maybe they're, you know, water boy, maybe they're just casual observers, but people that they get information from. But the best line that they can post for a game. So the best line they could post for a football game is one that is the exact same number of bets on both sides because they're guaranteed to win that way. So let's say you got Cowboys and Packers, and the line is 7, and they get 5,000 votes on each side. Well, they win because, yeah, they're going to pay out those 5,000 winning bets. They're going to collect the 5,000 losing bets, but they're going to also collect their percentage, the VIG. Yeah. They get that little bit of juice off of the winning bets, too. So they're going to make money off the winners, and then, of course, they make the losing money. There's no loss for them in that scenario. They could win big. Let's say they post it at 7, and there's 10,000 bets on the Cowboys and 1,000 on the Packers, and then the Packers cover. Well, that's a big win for the casino, but it's also big risk because if it goes the wrong way, they lose big. Yeah. They like that sure thing.
I've got something for you, Wheels. You're going to have to set your DVR or whatever you use on Truth Social. Donald Trump says he's going to do an interview with Elon Musk on Monday night.
Wait.
Promising more details to follow. So I don't really have anything else for you, but Donald Trump will be sitting down for an interview with your favorite person,
on
Elon
Twitter?
Musk, on Truth Social.
But Elon owns Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I actually don't. Sorry. I just keep seeing Truth Social over and over again in this story. I'm not exactly sure. I don't know if it'll be simulcast on both or what's going on.
I can see Elon doing it, though.
Yeah.
He's, did you guys see that? We should probably just read it. The Trump post on Truth Social from last night where he basically says that Biden's going to come back and stage a re-coup.
It's like a wrestling like description,
it's,
right?
It's, yeah.
Like the Undertaker's in the coffin. He's really dead this time, but then he rises from the dead.
I love it because it's like, Trump is like, do you think Joe's going to do this? And it's like, no, I think that's what you would do if you were in this situation.
Yeah,
like,
it
feels like a little bit of projection.
It reminded me of, like, I don't know who did it, some funny person, maybe a professional comedian, where they posted the thing as Trump about, hey, I had my ear shot off, but it grew back. And the doctor said, no one's ever grown an ear back like that. That's what it sounded like. It sounded like someone pretending to be Trump.
Parody,
it did sound like a parody thing,
We'll do one more story. The summer heat is impacting electric bills. A new survey found that 7 out of 10 Americans say the heat has affected their monthly power bills, and 4 out of 10 say the heat is affecting their sleep, pets, or exercise routines.
Dave, has it been really hot out where you are? Is it more temperate?
It's like a hot day, because we're right on the coast, is 78.
Wow. Oh, come on.
This guy out here bragging.
No, that's early. That's a hot day.
It's 75 every day.
Damn. He's living in paradise. You're making $2 million a year.
Thank you, Dave.
All righty.
Hi, guys. Testing. My name's Patty. I listen to you every day from Denver, Colorado. I love keeping track of my old hometown, St. Louis, and I love your take on life. All of you make the day so interesting. Thank you.
You made Razor cry.
Oh, Patty, that is so nice. Thank you so much.
I can't show my face in Denver because we're huge.
400,000 listeners per day.
Yeah, I just have to drive through there really fast.
Man.
It's pretty great, huh?
Following.
Really cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, this whole message thing is working out great for us so far. I feel like a million bucks.
Yeah, count to 10. It'll go bad.
Maybe some bad ones.
Don't say that.